Well, good morning or good afternoon. I guess it's afternoon now in every place except Hawaii and points westward from that. But good day to you. And it is a good day. Here we are in the transitional days of early spring. And I think that this, well, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, but even in the South, you're in the transitional days of autumn. So either way, I can make a good point with the weather. It seems like the weather is always a good thing to start on when we're moving into a subject and wanting to establish some common ground. I am waiting and anticipating a number of you being on the Q&A session today, because I do feel there's some potent room for discussion because of what we've been covering in our course, the bridge to between heaven and earth, and also just in general about what's going on in the world and what I'm perceiving from letters with people. It's a great time to be alive in more ways than one. It can also be challenging. And as I was starting to say about the transitional season, we officially, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, are in spring right now. But not every day feels like spring. There's a lot of back and forth that happens in these transitional seasons. As the earth and our human sensitivity acclimate to where the season is going and moving, we will have warm temperatures one day. It'll drop into the 60s with cool wind the next. And it almost drops down to freezing at night, so we worry about the budding peach trees and apple trees. Then suddenly the next day it's back to 80. Now, the relevance of that for what you're going through with your blessing is that your blessing begins to open a new springtime for you. It's giving you positive new stimulation. The planet of your life is turning back toward the sun. It's seeking the light. It's receiving more light. But some of the engagements that you have made in the past with others or with your work or your former involvements are still blowing a little bit of Arctic air on you. And you'll notice a little bit of a roller coaster, a little bit of up and down. And my advice is to recognize that that is actually part of the seasonal turn of our life. We do go from challenging seasons to more prosperous seasons. We go from heavy work seasons, even parts of the year that are heavy work, and then we go to our seasons of relaxation. But always at the transitional phase, there's a little bit of what we're leaving behind and a little bit of what we're moving into. And this is when we really need to focus all of our optimism, our priorities, our values, our communications, and our expectations upon the positive that is beginning to happen. This is the time when we need to really understand that we get more of what we expect. And so, just to continue with the weather as a metaphor, on the days when it's a little cooler, I just don't open the doors, but I stay in my spring clothing. In other words, I have completely immersed myself in the idea, in the belief, in the reality that spring is here. I just take mild, necessary precautions, like staying indoors, catching up on my work when the rain comes or the cool winds blow, and knowing that it's just a matter of a slight reversal until I can be back on the porch sitting in the sun. And this is this is what some of you are experiencing with your blessing. You're experiencing the immediate benefits after the blessing, and then perhaps 2 or 3 days later, the cool winds will blow. But that's the time when you need to hold on to the reality of what it was like to be inside the blessing. And one of the creations that Yeshua has actually guided me in providing for you are the very rare and pure essential oils. Because when we breathe something, it's interesting. It doesn't matter whether it's an essential oil or it's a pine tree or jasmine in spring. It triggers something very deep in the autonomic nervous system. Our sense of smell is actually our oldest sense. And it triggers an immediate response from the body without any filters of the brain or any filters of our defense mechanisms or our temporary reversals of belief or consciousness. It just triggers it, and it goes straight into the cells of our body. It's a little bit like water. We drink water, and we don't have to tell it where to go. We drink water, and slowly the hydration level of our body builds up, and we have more capacity for cleansing our body, conducting activities more energetically, and assimilating our food. It just works because it's part of the indigenous supply of the universe and the way we're created according to universal order and universal balance. One of the things that people learn in their blessing course is how incredibly connected we are with the planet, the solar system, the galaxy, the whole energy of gravity, as well as the higher spheres and levels of consciousness in which the soul has its language. It's all part of the natural construction of our being. And when we are in a place of, well, balance or release or just neutral acceptance, these systems of the universe tend to function better, just like drinking water. And it just does its business. It takes over. It does what it's supposed to do. And the essential oils that were created trigger the limbic system in your body, which actually has a body-level brain, body-level consciousness. And it instantly tells your body what to do, how to feel. It brings on these great emotions that you can feel. And so I would highly recommend that all of you enjoying the blessing have a bottle of Christ-Scent. Use it during your blessing, and then anytime you feel a little bit like, oh, am I losing it? Is this going away? I felt so great. I knew that I was really in the light. Just put a little dab of Christ-Scent where your body, your nose can pick it up, your body can absorb it, and all of a sudden it tells your limbic system, oh, Christ is here, and all is well. And then, of course, we have some other amazing fragrances, especially the one I'm most enchanted with right now is Forever Spring. It's such a gorgeous, complex spring fragrance. It almost has the freshness of rain in it. It's not a heavy floral, even though there are a lot of flowers in it because there's citrus, a tiny little touch of spice, like the spice you would smell when you smell the pollen of a rose or an oriental lily, just the tiniest bit of spice, tiniest little bit of lemon, or orange, more likely, a little bit of both. And then just the fresh rain smell that comes and goes. It's so much like spring, the way spring shifts from one mood to another, and yet it's all spring. So that's really what I want you to grasp, is the spirit of the blessing bringing you all the many faces of spring, all the many attributes of positive change, knowing that as we go through it, we do process. Even in releasing, sometimes we pass through grief. Even in cleansing our body, sometimes it brings on a headache as we're bringing certain things up to the surface to release them from the cells of our body. So I really, really want you to keep your attention focused upon the greater good and the wholeness of what you're going through, and not just focusing on the transitional moments of change, because they are abundant in these little seasons of change that we pass through. And we probably have a lot of new people on the call today. I see our numbers are up, so I think I should take a moment to express the protocol of the blessing. I do this not every week because I don't want to spend valuable time repeating myself, but at least every month or so, it's good to tell new people exactly what to expect. During the blessing, I want you to be seated with your feet bare, if possible. I know for some of you, it may be cold. Maybe you have a cold and you don't want to take your socks off. If possible, though, at least have on natural fibers such as wool or cotton on your feet, and definitely do not have your shoes on, because the rubber soles on most shoes really, really filter and interfere with the electromagnetic connection between our feet and the planet. Do not have anything on top of your head, no jewelry, no hats, nothing metal, and have your head facing upward. You can be comfortable in the chair. You don't have to be erect. You don't have to be in a yoga pose or anything that's difficult to hold. Actually, I would rather you to be comfortable. And then what you're going to do is just relax into the heart of your being, the center of your being, your physical heart, and tell your mind to take a hike. Your mind simply cannot process what will be coming through you from God, the Holy Spirit, the cosmos, and the earth. And the whole process of the blessing is to give you a frequency of energy that is so perfect for your well-being that all of the illusions and delusions and false realities can't take root, at least for the moment of its conveyance. Everything that doesn't belong just falls away. And you are there, flowing with an energy that is perfect for your being and your creation. And in that perfect energy, I want you to spend 3 minutes praying. Now, that prayer could be anything that is, we all pray differently. There's probably nothing more unique than a fingerprint as to a prayer. Some people are in their deep silence as they pray. Other people pray with words. Other people chant or hum or other people, there actually are a few people that do gestural movements of their hands or their feet and just allow the energy to flow freely through them. Whatever is prayer for you, feel your connection with God. Allow the Holy Spirit to pass through you, and in your heart be joined with Yeshua. It's there in your heart, in that perfect joining, that your prayers are most potently sent into the heart of God. God knows your needs. Don't worry about that. But the thing is, you see, we live in a universe in which we were given free will and the freedom to ask for what we want and to not be interfered with if we need to have an adventure. If you've ever had your hand slapped when you tried to help someone who didn't ask for it, you can understand what I'm saying. Sometimes people need their adventure, their challenge, their duress. And you could say, well, why would anyone need that? I really don't have the answer. The answer is inside that person. And it has to do with perfecting an understanding of life, perfecting an understanding of what they can and cannot tolerate, perfecting an understanding of who they are, what their abilities are, perhaps perfecting an understanding of how far they can go without seeking forgiveness. There are thousands of reasons why people move way out on a limb, far away from the tree of life and the heart of God. There are lots of reasons. The most mystifying thing to me is why, when they're out there, they invent a saw and cut the limb off. That's what I would call a truly lost soul. But even then, it's necessary to wait for the request, and no one waits more than God. So it is important that you pray, even though God knows your needs. And you don't have to pray for everything. You can say something like this: all these things I ask and more as you see that I need them. And then you've given permission. And sometimes the nature of your prayer will vary. I was having a conversation with my husband after a recent blessing. I asked him how his blessing was, and he said, oh, it was great. And he said, I noticed that I just had an instinct to verbally say my prayers. And there was a power in me about expressing the prayer verbally. And I was kind of surprised that that would happen. But it was very powerful, and I was very pleased with the whole experience. And so, you see, I think as you perfect your connection to God, you may explore different venues of expression. You may even explore different concepts of how you relate to God and what God is to you. For example, as a child, we thought of God as a divine and magnificent grandfather. As we grew older, we saw that God was someone who bailed us out when we got in trouble. And as we grew more philosophically sophisticated, we saw that God was in all things and everywhere. And God had the magnificent ability to be with all people in all ways, even our enemies. And I can tell you from years of experience, one of the most majestic ways of praying is to pray for your enemy. Yeshua said to love your enemy. And in that, we stretch our ability to see how vast God is and to discover in the love of our enemies that part of God we've been ignoring, that part of God we separated from because we didn't want anything to do with a parent who would love that person. You see how that works? And so without realizing it, we had not just separated from our enemy. We had separated from the part of God that loved our enemy. You cannot love all of God with all your heart and not love your enemy as well. So I challenge you to take that prayer on as an expanded expression of your desires and your praise, your gratitude, and your needs. All of these things are part of the way we can bring more heaven into our life. Basically, it gets right down to this. The more God we have in our life, the more heaven we have in our life. It all starts within the center of our being, in our heart. And if we find that true, pure seed, it's really a small extension from that to begin to see the presence of heaven occurring outwardly as little manifestations of, it could be something as simple as a smile, something as simple as a gift or a flower blooming. But when we focus upon those little manifestations of heaven, guess what? We get more. That's when we get that raise. That's when we get that breakthrough in an idea. It's always when we see a little presence of heaven out there, and then we say, wow, how beautiful is that? How wonderful is that? And then we get more. God rewards us for reaching and praising the little manifestations of heaven. And in the blessing, we start by reaching and manifesting the blessings of heaven in our heart. Yeshua said, the kingdom of heaven is within. And that's where we go in the blessing. We surrender the outer world. We surrender the mind. Yeshua did not say, the kingdom of heaven is in your mind. God help us if it were, because the mind is functions and programmed and operationally limited to the comparison of opposites, the exploration of extremes and opposites and comparisons that derive from that. Something's as hot as it's not cold. Something's as up as it's not down, and so forth. The mind is created to assist us with survival, and so it's full of contrast. It's full of contrast that lead us to judgment about good and bad. And certainly there are in life many things that we would call better and worse. But from the heart, it's a preferential thing. From the heart, it's wisdom. It's just the wisdom of saying, oh, this is the better thing. This is what I choose. And letting go of that which is not so good. Letting go of it, not so much with judgment, but because we simply don't have time for it. We've got all of our attention on what's good. We're putting all of our time, our interest, our emphasis on what's good. If you eat only good food, you've got no room left for the junk. It's really about as simple as that. And that's the way the heart's intelligence functions. But the mind, in order to keep itself primed, will tell you, well, you know, you really need to eat some bad food so you'll know what good food feels like. You see the difference? You see the dysfunction of that? And the mind will do that. It will actually keep us plugged into obsessions and circular reasoning and alternate behaviors so we can always get that comparison. If we have enough bad, then we'll know how to appreciate the little bit of good that we have. And Yeshua says there is no end to that. This is the water that makes you thirsty, always thirsty. He says, I bring you the water that quenches your thirst. And it's very simply this. If there's good food on the table, you fill up with it, and the bad food is just scraped in the wastebasket. The same is true of life. If you're busy doing creative things, benevolent things, constructive things, loving things, all the things that fill your heart and soul with the love that you are, what time or energy do you have left over for anything else? It's really a matter of making that choice and following through on it. Living the choice, being the choice, and it fills you completely. There is no hunger and there is no thirst. And yes, there are people out there eating bad food. And we will go to their homes or their parties and they will offer us their bad food. And then we have an option. Do we be courteous and take a morsel? Or do we say, thank you, no. I have better food I'd like to offer you. This is when we're really challenged to spread the word of what we believe and what we know. This is what caused the immense spread of the message in the first 3 centuries after Yeshua's life. It spread like wildfire because people had no inhibition about telling other people about the good food and giving them the good food and saying, no, what you're telling me, this has just, they didn't judge them. They just said, this has no interest for me. It has no value for me. Try this. You'll like it. This will make all the difference in how you approach life. That's how they did it. They made life the blessing. And you can make life your blessing, your extended blessing, through the choices you make. It all starts here. It's going to come to you as an energetic flow. Getting back to talking about the protocol, it will come to you for a 3-minute energetic flow as you pray. I will start with an invocation to Yeshua because I want to really present to you that he lives in your heart, that he is there. I want you to see and feel his presence. Then I will be quiet and continue the energetic conveyance. I'm sure that some of our blessing givers will join me, so it won't just be me. But it's not we who are giving the blessing. We're being the human antenna that helps the energy flow in the right frequency for you so that you may fully receive. After that's done, I'll tell you, and then I want you to go and rest for about 7 minutes, could be 10 minutes. Some of you fall asleep and wake up an hour later. That's okay. You've got time to do that and still be on your 2:30 class. So I will actually just start wrapping this up unless someone wants to talk. I really had a strong feeling someone did want to talk today, but no one has. Oh dear, my fault. I guess if anyone has wanted to get in, we'll take a call. Okay, we do have a person. I'm not alone on this call. It's from area 760.
Hi, Glenda. It's Kathy from San Diego again. I spoke to you, I think it was last week. I just wanted to tell you that I have a couple of Twitter accounts. I quote A Course in Miracles on Twitter, and I quote A Course of Love on Twitter. And so people follow you, and you follow them. And one day, as I was, you know, reading the Twitter stream, there came a quote from you, from one of the, from someone who quotes under the name, who tweets under the name of Elliot Teeters, and he's got almost 20,000 followers. And the quote that he attributed to you, there was Glenda Green's name, was the spiritual kingdom dwells within all beings, things, times, and places. So I just wanted you to know that your name's getting out there. You're being quoted on the internet.
Great. Thank you, Kathy.
Okay,
that's,
you're welcome.
News. That is,
yeah,
great news.
Yeah, it was fun to see it. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we have one more patient caller from area code 647 in Toronto.
No, this is Helen from New Zealand.
Oh, hi, Helen.
Hi. My question is about love. I understand from reading the book that love controls the adamantine particles. But my question is, if a person like myself was never raised with love, and doesn't know if I really know how to feel, I don't know how to feel it in my body or how to generate it so that I can use love for healing and enlightenment and planetary work. I'd like to know how to access my sacred heart and feel the love in my body. And I do use the love essential oil, but I still don't think I'm there yet. All my efforts are directed by my mind to feel the love. I'm not getting it, I don't think.
Well, Helen, your last comment is the main secret why you're not getting it. Your mind really does not understand love. Mm-hmm. It understands admiration and liking and affinity, the things that draw us to our favorite ice cream, our favorite person, and so forth. It does understand that because the mind is a survival mechanism, and it draws us toward pleasure and away from pain. But that really isn't love in the highest sense. I would say that your question is really a whole course unto itself, which we can't get into at the moment, which we really cannot get into it at the moment. But I would recommend a couple of things. One is Larry's Holy Spirit Kundalini CD, The Conveyance of Kundalini and Holy Spirit through the person will open the portals of the heart. It's one of the most powerful ways of actually opening the sacred heart. Then beyond that, I would say remove whatever is not you, because you were actually created as love. And it's all the things that, all the identities and all the things that are not you that have covered the love you are like a blanket. And so bit by bit, one by one, remove the identities that are just part of a specific or local or transitional story. And that could be just a role you play. It doesn't mean the roles are not still important, such as wife, mother, healer. The roles can still be important. It's the identities we take on that can block the love that we are, because the identities are always placed there and held by the mind, and they represent a kind of ego presence. Ego also does not understand love in its true and perfect form. It can understand affinity and admiration, yes, but the greater love of who you are is what you lost when you took on an ego identity. And so these have to be slowly washed away and removed. And we have a lot of great online seminars that can give you the deeper understanding of that. I would suggest that you go to spiritusonline.org and look at some of our seminars. Just start and take one that pleases you, because it's a great way to take a seminar and not have to travel, especially considering that you're so far away from where I am. Otherwise, I would refer you again to my husband's Holy Spirit Kundalini CD, which is it's a kind of energetic meditation that just pours the energy of Holy Spirit through you. It's very synchronistic with the blessing, and if you have time for nothing else but joining us on the blessing on Sunday, do that. Because the blessing is designed to open your heart, and it pours through this energetic energy that is the perfect you. So I hope that helps, Helen, and congratulations that you're starting. You know, the biggest step you'll ever make in this direction is the first one. And you've taken the biggest step. You've gone past the greatest hurdle. The rest is just staying with it.
Okay.
I see Eve is on the call. Hello, Eve.
Hello, Glenda. How are you today?
Well, I'm fine. I need to take this call quickly because we're running past our blessing time, but I didn't want to ignore you since it was my fault you couldn't get on the call.
No, it's totally fine. Okay, real quickly, a lot of the things that you brought up today are kind of consistent with what's going on. Now, what would you say in terms of love, attraction, chemistry, those are all ego types of love? Is that right?
Not necessarily. When we're in our true heart, we really do magnetize what belongs to us. So attraction is actually amplified by being in the heart. But the effort we put on getting something, forcing something that we think we like, we think we want, is sometimes from ego. You just kind of have to feel the difference. There is no effort from the heart attraction. There's usually great work, great obstacle, and great struggle and frustration with ego attempts to get something.
Okay, because what came to me this morning was sort of got this, I get information sort of like in a marquee, like a movie marquee. What came to me was human love is not divine love.
I would actually have to disagree with that.
Okay.
All love is divine love.
Ah, okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay? You see, this is an example, again, of how we can limit all that we are by giving it a definition, a box. Actually, God's love exceeds anything we can see and know. And love looks like different things to each one of us. And in that sense, there would be a certain kind of truth to that marquee, because each one of us has our own box, our own what does love look like to me idea. And that definition of love is never enough. And people who have trouble seeing God as love are people who are really stuck in their own definition of what love looks like. But what they need to realize is that all love is divine, and get past their limited definition of it. You see how that works?
Okay. Yeah, and when you said what love looks like, I got what love looks and feels like. So, yeah, I'll contemplate that. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Eve. And now let's begin with our blessing. And you've already been set up for... So we're going to just move into it. Be in your pose. Be in your heart. Be in oneness with God. Be with Yeshua in your heart, open to the Holy Spirit. Dear Yeshua, thank you for expanding our understanding of love, for allowing us to each have our own definition of what love looks like and feels like to us, and yet know that all forms of love are actually divine. There is no love and God not be present. Any love is better than no love. And all love is the beginning of great love. We ask that you lift us out of the limiting definitions of our mind, that we may surrender to greater possibilities, that we may open to the neutral and perfect center of our heart that resides like the hub of a wheel inside our being, not even turning and yet turning the whole wheel of our life. We ask that you help us to see the infinite possibilities that are available to us for blessing, expansion, and being one with God. We ask that you be with us, that we may be a lighthouse and a beacon of love and blessing for others. As we receive, so shall we give. Amen. your blessing is complete. Now go and rest for 7 minutes or more. Be with God. Receive all the blessings into all levels of your body, heart, soul, and being. And I'll see you again next week. Much love from me.